Hi everyone, welcome to episode 9 of Tea in the Treetops podcast. My name's Angela.
Hi, I'm Philippa, and this is the official podcast of the Tea in the Treetops book review blog. Today is Wednesday, June 25th.
Yep, and we have some apologies to make today because our blog has had some trying times the last couple of weeks.
That's an understatement.
Yeah, we've had some security problem and it was hacked and we're very sad. But hopefully today it's all back. So maybe we'll have a bit of a chat about that in a minute, what happened with that. But, yes, so we are here with our little ones in the room today. So if you hear some noises, we apologise, but hopefully they won't be too noisy today. And I'm coming down with a cold, so if I sound like a frog, you'll know why. I'll try not to. So, Tea in the Treetops had some kind of security breach and we were redirecting some dodgy pharmacy site for a while there. But in the end, our support wasn't particularly helpful and we ended up actually making a whole new WordPress. I was going to talk a bit about it because I know that out there there's bloggers who maybe wouldn't have a clue on how to approach this if it happened to you. So,
well, I certainly had no idea. I took one look at the support email and just went, this is above my level of ability.
Yeah, I mean, I still have no idea how they get in and how they – but basically what happens is you end up with little bits of script inserted into some of your blog's files, the code that makes your blog work. So firstly, I tried to go through all that. They sent us a list of files that they thought were infected. So I went through them and tried to find the dodgy code and tried to fix them, and it was still not working. So in the end, I actually, you can do a lot of hosting providers have like some kind of one-click install for WordPress.
Yes.
So, and they do have really good instructions. We're with Dreamhost for our hosting, and they do have really good instructions on how to reinstall the whole thing. So basically you run the WordPress install and then you have to copy all the files over into the new installation and you have to update your WP config file to direct to your database. So your hosting provider should have all that information. You can ask them for it, the name of your database and the password for the username and password for your blog to access the database. It's a bit... There's a list of a few things that you need to know before you can reconnect your database to your blog. Once that config file is set up, you'll be able to see your blog again. So I was so pleased that our database wasn't affected.
And that's what hosts all the actual reviews and the pictures.
The blog.
Is that right?
No. The pictures are in your – the pictures are stored in
WordPress.
It's called Uploads. WP content or an upload folder. It's a separate folder that so you can in FTP you go into your actual files of your blog, copy all the images over to the new one, and then it all works. So I hope I've explained that in a kind of slightly coherent manner. But the only problem with doing that way is it does mean you have to reinstall all of your plugins again. You can't just copy plugins over because you don't know where the dodgy code is hiding, so it's better to download and install a new copy of your theme and plugins again from the source rather than one you already have.
Okay, so as somebody that's not very tech proficient, which is sad because I worked in the industry for a very long time.
That's okay.
So I think one of our problems, if I'm correct, is that we didn't have any backups of our database. Would that have actually helped if we'd had something like that, or it would have still been time-consuming?
I don't know because I don't know how the backup is. How we get the backup.
Yeah.
If it comes in one file, or if I mean, I'm sure there's instructions online on how to do it. So I'm not sure myself how to do that. The database itself, I think, is fairly secure.
It's just the WordPress
files, the PHP files that get changed.
Exploited.
And a backup of those, all we would have to do is copy them into the new installation. But it depends when the backup was taken. Like if it was backed up after the infection, then you could just be putting it back.
Back on, okay.
So it is better to download a new copy of everything rather than risk actually copying in a copy that's been infected.
So is there anything we could have done to have made this easier? Like, is there anything we should be doing different that's a good thing? Like, should we be having a list of all of our plugins somewhere? Or
that, well, anything we do like that would be a great idea. It's just a matter of keeping it maintained, that's all. Like, yes. we should do a backup, but you need to, with backups, you kind of need to set reminders for yourself to do it, like, or have it happen automatically if you can, so that we make sure we have a backup when something goes wrong. So,
okay.
The other thing that there are things we can do, plugins to increase security on the actual blog, but we need to look into that a bit more. I'm not sure on what we can do. So if anyone out there has any suggestions for us to increase our security, or because we've had blogs before and we've never had any issues like this before.
We've had like 6 blogs between just the two of us.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've had like about 10 or more blogs between our whole
blogger group. On Blogger.
We've never had WordPress ones. An exploit prior to this. Yeah, and we've had three exploits in like a month or something.
Hopefully now that I've put the new installation in there, it will be a while until we have the next one. But you never know. It might be one of our current theme or our current plugins that's causing a problem. So anyway, we'll see what happens and hopefully it'll be okay.
We might be trialing some new plugins for security and we can report back on if it makes a difference. Yeah.
Well, we won't know until someone tries to hack our
existing. That's true.
Anyway, if nothing happens then we know it's worked.
Yeah.
So anyway, we've been talking about some books.
Sounds good. So what have you been reading recently?
Well, I've read quite a bit in the last couple of weeks, actually.
That's good because I've read very little.
Well, there you go. Well, I won't talk about all the books I've read, but I had been talking about reading Heir of Fire, even though it's not out till later in the year. I couldn't hold myself back any longer and I read it. And I won't give anything away because you haven't read it yet and we will do a joint review, but it was good. It wasn't as good as the first two, I thought, but it was a character development story. It was a bit slow, but you know, the characters all, you know, got some things done. And the next book will be where all the action happens.
So it was like a prop book, propping and setting everything up ready for big finale. It's going to be more of a trilogy.
I think she's got like 7 books planned or something.
Oh, okay. So quite a few.
So, yeah, I'm pretty sure there's going to be quite a few to come. And there's new characters as well. Like it seems each time there's new characters added. So hopefully by the end it won't end up being like a Game of Thrones kind of extravaganza of so many millions of characters that you don't know who's who. But very enjoyable writing still. Like the style is good.
So do you think you would benefited from rereading book 2? Because I can't really remember what happened. Yeah. How much of a reminder are you given?
Well, not a lot, but there's enough. I mean, the very end of the second book was a big sort of reveal. I'm not sure how much I want to say without being spoilery. That. Would you like me to give you a bit of an update now, and I'll say that we're going to have a spoiler now, or not? Well, I'll tell you later.
No, tell me later. Because I'm not reading book 3 for a little while. It's,
all right,
it's not on my current horizon.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of books to read. It's not, you know, next, that's for sure.
All right. Well, I'll go on to the next thing then, which is I have just finished reading The Falconer by Elizabeth May, which came out at the beginning of May. It's an interesting book in that it's a bit of a mishmash of different genres. We've got it's set in Edinburgh in the sort of mid 1800s, so
1840s.
It's sort of like period, you know, drama thing.
I thought from the cover it looked like a high fantasy to be honest, which is why I didn't request a copy in that galley. I was like,
it sounded so intriguing. So we've got set mid 1800s in Edinburgh. It's fairies that are nasty. Like the fairies are really nasty, most of them. And it's steampunk as well. So
that sounds pretty cool.
It's an interesting concept, and I thought that in some ways the different aspects of it didn't mesh together all that well.
Okay.
The steampunk is quite mild anyway. Like it's not in your face kind of it's more, I think in my review I've described it as being gear punk. Like there's no steam trains and, you know, just steam things.
Yeah.
It's more
the cogs and cogs, yeah,
gadgets, yeah, tinkering and that kind of thing. She flies an ornithopter, which has got okay. wings, and it's a bit magical. Like there's no...
Yes.
It's not very mechanical in nature.
So it's a bit more like Golden Compass, which has that small yeah. steampunk feel about it.
That's right, and it's historical kind of thing. But also she's a fae hunter. She's a fairy hunter.
Okay.
So she's getting revenge for her mother was killed by a fairy and she witnessed it. So now she's, like, out there to get revenge.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's quite a – this is – the main character's name is Aliana. She's a very dark character in that she just – focused on, she wants to kill the next fairy, like it's all very kind of a bit violent.
Okay. But,
and then there's, unfortunately, there's a bit of a love triangle, which I'm not really a fan of, but there are two gentlemen involved, one of whom is a fairy.
Mm-hmm.
And
how could you not see that coming?
I know,
sorry.
But,
somebody that bent on revenge has to change their way, surely.
Well, so that part he's one of the good ones. Or the,
oh, okay.
Probably good ones.
He's from the Steely Court, not the Unsteely Court.
Is no, well, they're all a bit nasty. Okay. He's one of the most powerful fairies, but he's joining her in the fairy in the hunting. Mm-hmm. So the bad fairies kill humans and everything all the time. So these guys are after them, trying to kill them, and to try and find the banshee who killed her mum in the first place. So anyway, I've made it sound way more complicated than it actually is, but it was a really enjoyable read, a very fast-paced kind of mm-hmm. quick read. And the thing that I really disliked about the ending was that it is a super cliffhanger. Like they are right in the end of the final big scene and it just stops.
Is it one of those books where you feel like they have just finished at the end of a chapter? Rather than, you know how there are some books, it's like they've just finished at the end of a chapter, there's no wrap up, it's just...
No, it was like the middle of a chapter. It was yes, like it's... they're just trying well, to... That is... Everything's happening and then they go, okay, big reveal, okay, bye, that's the end. I was like...
That to me is no. my biggest pet peeve with books well, because I find that pure laziness on part of the author. You don't have to have a cliffhanger. But you can't just finish things like there should be more chapters. There's got to be some resolution.
You need a bit of a wrap up. I was sort of thinking that it was a bit when I was writing my review.
You get away with this.
I know. I thought of it in the end like Star Wars, like you know the end of Empire Strikes Back. Everything is looking pretty bad. Like Han's in the you know the Jabba's palace and. Stuff's going wrong, but they have a wrap up at the end. Everyone's in a safe place except for, of course, they're all. It sort of ties up at the end, even though it's the end of one chapter and the start of the next one. Whereas it would be like this way, it would be like they're flying to the Death Star. They're flying down the Little Canyon. Luke takes his shots, and then the credits roll.
Yeah, see, that's my. I just cannot stand that and. It's only been since I've really been into YA in the last couple of years that it seems to be something that's been accepted by
well, it feels like editors a marketing and publishers. Gimmick to me as well. It's to make
yes,
people buy
Yes, because it
the next
works, time. Doesn't it? Not yeah. always.
But and if here I, we are talking about it, so, know, you know, just, we're pandering to their
heads. Every time it happens, I rant about it in my reviews because I can't stand it.
Yeah.
It really annoys me. But just sorry, I thought I would mention, it's funny because I saw that the Falcon the book and what you've said of it sounds quite interesting, but I want to look at that cover. I didn't even read the back and I decided
the cover was really pretty.
But it looked like high fantasy and I was like, I'm not up for a high fantasy book at the moment and I didn't request it.
It's not really high fantasy.
But that was the first thing that came to mind and it just shows, I guess, even though I wouldn't say I love a good cover, but it just shows me how much I stereotype without even thinking about things. Yeah,
everyone does. It's interesting. I mean, judging
they do, but you don't realise it until you've heard otherwise. It's like, oh, that's very different to what I expected.
I would, recommend it, but maybe wait until the next one comes out so that you're not like you don't get to the end and go, ah.
Yes, maybe. I'll see. I don't know. I'm thinking I'm going to have to just boycott it based on what you've said, to be honest.
Okay. Well,
really don't like good. That. That's good to know.
What have you been
all
reading?
All right. Then? Well, the majority of my fortnight was spent reading book club book, which you had read last time we did this podcast. So All the Light We Cannot See by Anthony Doerr. Mm-hmm. And I liked it. I didn't love it as much as you and Natasha did, I don't think.
Yeah.
But I did enjoy myself, though I won't lie, there were parts of it that were hard to read because it's just a bit of a hard topic.
Yes.
But it was beautifully written. And I really enjoyed it, but I think we're going to try and get Natasha along to a podcast so we can all talk about it. But, yeah, so that was a good read, but it was a slower read. I think I forget that when I'm not reading YA, it sometimes takes me a little bit longer to read something.
It was quite a long book as well.
Yes, it was. It was technically outside of our book club restrictions. Yep. We have a 500-page limit, seeing there are some slower readers out there in our book club, but this one was a bit more. That's okay, though. It was a good book. And I'm not sure, I can't remember if I'd finished this book or not last time, and that was Blackbird by Anna Carey, which isn't actually out, I don't think, until about September. But if I hadn't finished it well last time, I really enjoyed it. Really, really enjoyed it. I thought that was a good book. But I will write a review for that one a bit closer to the release date.
Sure.
Yes, and that's only a duology, so you don't have to get too invested.
Yeah, it doesn't have nasty cliffhangers.
No nasty cliffhanger, thank goodness.
Okay.
Yes. Yes, so that's what I have finished, and I have just recently started a book called The Dollhouse by Anya Allen, and it's an Australian author, which is why I decided to pick it up. I wasn't really 100% sure whether or not I should, but I figured seeing it was an Australian author, and we don't have too many Australian YA authors out there, but it was worth probably giving a go.
Yes.
And so far it is very creepy.
Right.
Yeah, the writing is a bit – looks not the best written book. It's not terrible, but it's just, I don't know, a little bit cumbersome or something. I don't know, like it's trying to be – poetic, but it doesn't quite work. But that doesn't mean it's not going to get better. I'm assuming this was her debut novel. She's actually, I think, got 3 or 4 out in Australia, but this is the first one being released for Kindle worldwide.
Yep.
So yes, very creepy. The name The Dollhouse, surely that just, if you put Dollhouse in sort of a slight horror YA paranormal bit,
yeah,
I think that probably creates creepy vibes for everybody.
Does for me anyway.
And the cover was gorgeous.
Yeah, it did have a very nice cover.
Yes. Yeah, so are you reading anything at the moment? Have you started something?
Yeah, well, I only just finished The Falconer. So the book I've got next on my list is called Thief's Magic by Trudy Canavan. And I know that Trudy had a lot of those Magician's Guild books.
I haven't read any of her books either,
and I've heard great things about them. A lot of people say that they're really fantastic.
Me too.
So with Thief's Magic, I was a bit worried that I was going to have a long list of other books that I needed to read first, but no, it's a new world.
Series? Oh, a new world too, okay.
Yes, a whole new series starting new.
Okay.
So that's good. I can start, I don't need to read anything else before. And I don't really know anything about it yet, but I haven't started it yet, but I will shortly, so I'll put back on that next time.
Her books are quite large, if I remember correctly.
It's a big, the copy of it that I've got is a large format, so it's huge, but I think it's around 500 pages. I'm not too sure.
So it's not a huge tome like Game of Thrones,
right? No, it's not.
Okay. Well, that's something at least.
Yeah. And beyond that, I really don't know. I've got quite a few large fantasy books lined up, so I'll just have to decide which one I feel like after. I'm moving house in the next week or so, how much reading I actually get done remains to be seen, but I do read while I'm putting my little one to sleep, so I'll get some reading time.
Yeah. Actually, I don't know about you, but sometimes I like putting them to sleep because it gives you that small chance to have a bit of a read.
I look forward to bedtime because I do get to lie down and have a read and relax after the whirlwind of dinner time.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So you just started.
I've just started The Dollhouse.
Yeah.
I've got a fairly I'm about to start my 2 weeks of holidays between uni subjects.
Oh, yeah.
So I've got a slightly ambitious probably list of books. Well, I've picked three books to read and I'm still only like 10% through The Dollhouse. So I've still got lots to go on that one.
Yep.
So one of them, the one that I plan on starting straight after The Dollhouse, isn't actually a review book and it's been out for a while, and that's If I Stay by Gail Forman. Now, I'm not a big contemporary fan, though I do read the odd contemporary, but I happened to just randomly see the movie trailer for it on YouTube the other day, and I'm not going to lie, I kind of was like, I need to read that book now.
When's the movie coming?
The movie's not coming out till August, so August 22nd, I think, is the, I'm assuming, probably the US release date. I don't know when us Aussies will get it. 203 pages long, so nice and short.
Yeah, I didn't realize.
Apparently you need the tissues.
Right, okay.
So I'm looking forward to reading that. I'm really looking forward to reading that one. So I'll be really devastated if it doesn't live up to, won a lot of awards. I'll be very devastated if it doesn't live up to expectations.
Yeah.
So the next one I've got is a review book called Chasing Stars by Helen Douglas. Now, this is actually book two. I have read the first one, which is After Eden. And I won't lie, After Eden wasn't the best book I've ever read, mm-hmm. but it was fun and it's time travel. I love a good time travel.
Yes.
It ended, I actually thought it just ended and it wrapped up and that was a standalone book for a bit. So I was kind of excited to find out there was another one because I remember feeling a bit left out, like let down by the ending. Like it wrapped it up really well, but I was like, really? Really? Anyway, so I'll be interested to see how the series is going to go. So that one's already out. That one came out June 5 and that's published by Bloomsbury. At least it is in UK and Australia.
Yep.
And the other book I've got to read is called Mirror X by Carrie Thompson, which is an Entangled publishing book, and it's out at the end of the month, so June 30. Now, this one is a bit of a sci-fi, potentially dystopian, maybe, from reading the synopsis.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it sounded kind of interesting. Cryogenics, you know. Futures,
yep,
all that sort of stuff could be interesting. So I don't know. I don't know anything else about the book. Okay. So could be a good read. I hope it's a good read. That's my list for the next fortnight anyway. And if I'm really lucky, I might get even through all of that and go into something else.
Okay, great. The next thing we had to talk about was there was an article on the Guardian website about Game of Thrones. So we're very sad that Game of Thrones series is already finished.
Again. Devastated.
Series
12 months until we get to start watching it again.
Yes, I know. And we loved. I don't know if we haven't talked much about Game of Thrones before, but
it's very hard because not everybody is up to season four, and some people have read.
Yeah,
the
we don't want to spoil. We don't want to spoil anything.
Yes,
yeah.
That's right.
But basically, I've read up to book four. I lose track of the numbers of the books now. And Philippa hasn't, so we're coming from different sides of the viewership.
I did read the first two books back in like 2001. To say I didn't really get into it.
Yeah.
So it's funny that I didn't get into that. No, well, I was like, I don't like that storyline. I don't like that storyline. I don't like that storyline. This really isn't worth continuing with the series.
Well, sadly, the third book is excellent. It's my favorite. But
yep.
And then the fourth one slows down a bit again. But anyway, so having not read the fifth book, I am edging into spoiler territory with watching the show at the moment because some of the, like the Bran storyline, for instance, isn't in. It is in book five, so which I haven't read yet. So I really need to get around to reading that. But anyway, we're not actually going to talk about the show itself. this article in TheGuardian.com was talking about how Game of Thrones is so successful. It's actually got higher viewer figures than The Sopranos now, which is pretty amazing because it's like I think it's HBO's biggest show ever.
Well, The Sopranos is considered by the Writers Guild of America the best written show ever.
Really.
So it's that's pretty good for Game of Thrones that it's as successful as it is.
Yeah, I mean it's popular. The thing with Game of Thrones is if a lot of the maybe there's a lot more advertising in America, but at least in Australia, the popularity of it has come through word of mouth, like people just telling each other, this show is amazing, watch it, or come through the internet as well.
I think for a lot of people, they're so sick of, like, especially people that have decided to start watching it recently, are like, what is all this talk about?
Yes.
I've got to see this now just to see what the whole fuss is about.
Mm.
One of my friends who studies marketing at uni was saying there was a whole – she refuses to watch Game of Thrones. She finds that she's not into violent stuff and she just thinks it's disgusting. So her other half has to watch it when she's out of the house.
Right, yeah.
He's not allowed to watch it when she could possibly walk in on it.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's another issue for a relationship blog maybe. But – basically, she said one of her lecturers did this whole Game of Thrones, filled with Game of Thrones, like the whole lecture was on, you know, Game of Thrones bits and pieces, and everyone was finding it so funny because it was all done like a Game of Thrones, you know, you needed to have watched it to really get all the references, and she was sitting there going, this just means nothing to me.
Oh, no.
But that is how much it's sort of imperviated culture.
Kind of thing. Well, anyway, they've decided that... Well, HBO, all the networks, in fact, I think there's a few listed in this article, are trying to come up with new shows to emulate the success of Game of Thrones. So
I think a good thing about this article is it's showing that fantasy, which once upon a time had to be really avoided in film and television because it was just seen as cliche and a bit tacky. And, you know, we didn't, you know, in the past there wasn't the special effects that could really give it the realism that it needs.
Now they can get away with being a lot more gritty as well. Like before they wouldn't have been allowed to have sex scenes and like just full on swearing and so anyway, they're talking about the Stars Network is gonna make a series based on Outlander books
by Dan Gabalon.
We had neither of us have actually read them, but
my sister's completely addicted to the series.
Yeah.
She keeps begging me to read it, and I'm positive I would love it. I just don't feel ready to commit to an 8-book so far series, each book being approximately 800 pages.
Yes.
That's a lot of investment.
The one that's just come out called Written in My Own Heart's Blood, or is that the final book?
I don't think it's necessarily the final book, but it's the 8th book, and it's just come out.
Okay. So, and from that picture, I'm guessing it's some kind of Highland, kind of Scottish
theme. It's a time travel series. Oh, so, nice. Basically, it's set in, I think, when it's the character, the main character, starts off, I think she's a nurse. I really don't know too much about this, but I think she's originally from the 30s or 40s, and she's a nurse, and she, I can't remember how, goes back to time to, like, Scotland. To like I think the 1300s or something like that, medieval Scotland, and you know, falls in love and all the rest of it, and so it's like an epic time travel romance. And the future books I think have like their descendants or something. I don't really know about that, but there's time travel is a very big part of the books, which awesome. Is I love time travel, I love it, so I really should read it.
So
I just don't know about that sort of time investment.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we just found a website that says that the premiere is actually in August in the US. So
August. I wonder if it'll be fast tracked for us Aussies here, considering the piracy rates of Game of Thrones.
I know.
Would be really nice for them to get on top of it, and I bet even it would have a bit of a bidding war for it too.
Well, in Australia, Foxtel is just such a monopoly that they've got the money to buy all the big shows. So
other than Outlander, I think it mentioned a couple of other series too. I know that article mentioned that HBO had desperately tried to create a series out of Neil Gaiman's book American Gods, which I loved. I know you thought it was good but not great, I remember correctly.
I thought it was really well written. It was just a bit dark for me.
I just thought the whole idea was just brilliant. I just loved that idea. I really did. So I was kind of devastated that they tried like multiple writers and still couldn't get it right and have axed the idea. So that's a real pity. But anyway, it was good to know that they also enjoyed it and they did try.
The other one.
That's right. The other one I think that they were looking at putting out was Wolf Hall.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a sort of a Tudor period piece. If
it does say Henry VIII.
Was it Tudor or yeah?
That could be an interesting one.
Mm. So that's actually a book that I would love to read as well, Wolf Hall, which is by Hilary Mantle. I think it's a Booker Prize winner. So I think maybe Natasha's got that on her to-read list too, so maybe she can do a review for us.
So, yeah, I would love it if they made more series. Obviously I'd prefer fantasy ones, but or the
time travel's kind of a bit fantasy. And same with period stuff can be a bit fantasy-like sometimes.
I mean, I know they also mentioned this article, Vikings, the show Vikings. And even though that is – historical ones are usually pretty great, my husband watches Vikings and I just find it to be extremely violent and kind of – I don't know. I think it's because it's about a community of Vikings, and there's a lot of family stuff in there, and the violent things happen to all of the family, and I just can't handle that.
And I think this is – the good thing about – I think like – one of the reasons fantasy or Game of Thrones is quite successful in that sort of gritty, real violence is because it is still fantasy enough that you feel it's removed from reality, and that makes the violence easier to take. Like as soon as you put violence in a war movie, like a World War II movie, for example, I don't know about you, but I find that a much more upsetting.
Yeah, that's right.
Gritty. It's just watching it. The realism is too much. So while that floats some people's boat, definitely not mine.
Yep. Yes. And as soon as there's children involved, I'm just like, come out.
Yeah, even in Game of Thrones, that can be a bit.
Yes, at times it can be.
Yes.
But I'm hoping that. So far, they haven't had too much violence towards children in it.
Thank goodness.
And yeah, but you just never know with George R. Martin. It's just.
Oh, let's be real. He'd sacrifice babies on an altar without a blink. If he could write it into the story.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll see. We've already had a bit of a, White Walkers stealing the babies and whatever.
That's right, which I found a bit difficult. Mm. talking about TV shows, though, this might or may not have interested some of the other YA readers, but Fox Network actually had written and done a pilot of Lauren Oliver's Delirium, which unfortunately was not picked up. Sure. Which is very sad for me and probably a lot of other people.
I have a copy of Delirium. I just haven't read it.
I loved it. I think I'm going to have to go back and read it again because I watched it on Hulu, and while they really, really changed the book. So basically the first book is the pilot, and some of book two and three characters are introduced in that first episode, which doesn't happen in the book. So it is very altered, but I thought it was actually a really good pilot. It wasn't brilliant. And a lot of people were saying they think if you hadn't read the books, you'd be maybe a bit confused by it. It was a bit of insta-love, which wasn't the case in the book. But you know what? It's a TV show. There was a lot to get through.
Yeah.
The quality of the actual production was great. And, I don't know. I thought it was really good. I was really disappointed that it wasn't picked up. But anyway, for anybody interested, definitely go watch the pilot while they've still got that up there. I think it's up there till like the 20th of July, so you've got a little bit of time still. Okay. It might inspire you to read Delirium, which I definitely recommend. It's one of my favourite dystopian YA books.
Yeah, it's one of those books I've been meaning to get around to for such a long time and I just haven't.
Mm.
Okay, so one last thing. We don't really have anything in anything on the blog this week. There's a couple of reviews there, and there will be some more coming up very shortly because I've read a load of books in the last couple of weeks and I haven't written any reviews. But because of our hacking issue, we haven't had a chance to write any posts, but they will be coming.
We also didn't get to participate in Top 10 Tuesday.
No. It's a bit sad. But, we'll do that next week again. Okay, so is there anything else that we want to talk about today?
I think that's it.
Yeah, that's all we have to talk about.
I think our hacking has been enough drama for us. I know. It's
so dramatic. Well, I really hope that that's over and done with now because it took a while to put everything back together. But, we'll have lots more reviews and stuff coming up shortly. If you'd like to send us any questions, you're welcome to send or some feedback. We'd love some feedback. You can email us at contact@teaandthetreetops.com, or our Twitter account is @teatreetops. And there's plenty of other book reviews and our bookie things on teaandthetreetops.com. So thank you very much for listening today. And the next one might be further away, depending on how my house moving is going. Hopefully it'll be in 2 weeks' time, but we'll see how we go with that. So, have a good one, and we'll see you later.
Bye for now.
Bye.